May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to God, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I think that the first line in our contemporary calling is really a good thing to remember. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things in heaven and on earth. And it's good to remember that. It's good to even realize it, that God is in control. He will win, he will prevail, he will accomplish his will and his way in the end. At times on earth right now, his will is not followed. But ultimately, God wins. So, in Epiphany, we learn that Jesus was baptized. He received God's approval. He was tempted in the wilderness. But he never strayed from God's will or his way. And so at that point, he was ready to begin his ministry. So he began to choose his men. And the four and Jesus set off to Capernaum in Galilee. And Galilee, basically, here's a little tidbit, was the center of Jesus' ministry his entire life. And what's kind of interesting is he begins his ministry in a synagogue, which is kind of a natural place to begin, a logical place to begin. If you want to teach people about God, you go to a synagogue. Now, what was interesting is in Mark, this gospel, Jesus' first act of ministry is an exorcism. They're there, Jesus is teaching, and then they realized, and Jesus realizes, that there's a man, there's an unclean spirit in that man. And the unclean spirit was not shy and spoke up and said, "Well, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Can you imagine the group that day, the crowd that day, when that happened? And then he says, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So right there, we know, and they knew, that that unclean spirit, that demon, recognized the presence of God in Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus was God. He knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God. But Jesus didn't want anything to distract in synagogue that day. And so Jesus rebuked him and he said, "Be silent and get out of him." And the unclean spirit listened. But you know, he could have chosen to come out and turn and choose Jesus. But he chose to convulse the man and basically come out kicking and screaming and went off. But that showed Jesus' victory over evil. Jesus' victory for that man, very special that day, that he was free. Now the crowd was amazed because the unclean spirit did obey him. They were exceptionally amazed because the unclean spirit knew who Jesus was. But then even themselves, they were amazed because of Jesus' teaching. It wasn't like the scribes, just kind of like an interpretation, but it was a teaching with power and authority from God Almighty. Now there's a word for demon, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, mazikin. And the definition for that, and that meant demon, the definition for that is one who does harm. Think about that. One who does harm. And that is what St. Paul's lesson is all about. But even for us, before I get into 1 Corinthians, for me, that makes me think, okay, I don't want to be a demon. I have to watch what I do. We never think of our sins as being demonic. We think, oh, I did something wrong. But we don't want to be one who does harm. We want to be one who encourages and loves God, well, encourages others towards God and love God enough that we put others first and serve God enough that we put others first. And that's what St. Paul is talking about. Individual choice or the welfare of the total community or the welfare of others. Who do we put first, ourselves or others? So St. Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge. But anyone who loves God is known by him. And that's our comfort. And that's our good news also. So he starts talking about the eating of food that was offered to the idols. And it sounds a little confusing, but it's kind of also, on the other hand, straightforward. There were some who were early believers who still believed that eating the food that was sacrificed to the gods with a little g was wrong. It would defile them, and it would be upsetting to them. Now, what St. Paul is trying to say is, we know that there is only one true God. It's not so much what we eat or don't eat. It's how we think, how we act, how we love, how we treat one another. And what he says is, we are no worse off whether we eat it, and we are no better off if we do. But the problem comes if, let's say, for this group, and we can translate it into another analogy for ourselves. If they choose to eat the meat and they realize that it's a stumbling block for someone else, that it's harmful for someone else, then they need to refrain. Not because the eating of the meat is bad, but becoming a stumbling block for someone else is bad. We are to encourage and to love people towards God. Not take it lightly and say, oh, don't worry about it. It's not bad, when the person really believes that it is. So what does St. Paul say himself? He gives a personal thought here. He says, therefore, because I know that their conscience is weak, and I don't want to cause them to sin against Christ, if food is a cause of their failing, he says, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fail. When we have a situation in our lives and we are with somebody that might not quite understand God or might not quite understand our faith or might not quite understand Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, what St. Paul is telling us is to be mindful of the welfare of others. And if you have to give up some kind of action or eating meat or whatever it is, in order to not be a stumbling block for someone to go to God, we are to do it just like he is willing. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the learnings and the teaching that were written down by the prophets, the apostles, the martyrs, and from all the people of God who have written in the Bible. We ask that we can read them, understand them, and accept them, and accept Jesus as our Savior, and make Jesus so important to us. in our hearts and minds and our souls, that we want to follow him as much and as faithfully as he follows you. That we are as obedient to you as Jesus Christ is. And that we are loving of one another to give and to also receive encouragement, just as you give encouragement and love us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.